I go and I walk into the people and I was like, can you shift for me, right? Shift is move, right?
In Nigeria, shift means move.
Right?
Yeah.
So imagine the new girl coming in with this Nigerian accent, you know, saying, can you shift for me? Straight dead in the eye. And I was like, what?
Oh my God, what is happening?
What is this weirdo?
Hello, it's Leon here and welcome back to the Black and Irish podcast. Today, myself and Amanda are chatting to Lisa McDonald and Chinna Saribe. They are two incredible women who started the Emojilin platform. Emojilin is a hub for Afrocentric fashion brands. We're speaking to them about what it's like as an entrepreneur, what it was like as two University of Galway students, and their views on entrepreneurship and inclusivity. Thank you so much for having a chat with us on our podcast. You run an amazing organization. Tell us all about it.
First off, thanks for having us.
Of course.
Really excited to be here chatting to you guys. So we are the founders of Emojilin. We're a platform for African fashion designers. We basically unite and empower them to be all under the one umbrella and also make African fashion easily accessible.
And I'd love to hear a little bit more about yourselves and like your own background. Like I know you were born in Imo State.
Yes. I was born in, I've not heard anyone say that yet in a long time.
I was whacking the website out of it. I need to go back. And do, if I did my degree now, with the research that I'm able to do now, I think I'd actually get more than 40%.
But yes. So I was born in Imo State, Nigeria. So that's, you know, I am Igbo.
East side.
You know, so I was born in Imo State. I am Igbo. So I was there up until I was 10. Sorry to my Lagosians. I know everyone that comes out of Nigeria is like, oh yeah, I lived in Lagos. I never lived in Lagos. I don't know the experience. I was village girl in Nigeria. And then I moved to Ireland at the age of 10. So I would say 11.
It was
11.
Different story from the time.
You know. It was 10. She's older than me.
Okay.
So I am not from Imo State, but I'm from South Africa. So I'm from KwaZulu-Natal, very much KZN. Village girl, KZN. I know most people hear South Africa and they think Cape Town, Johannesburg. No, not city at all. And I moved to Ireland as well. Same year, I moved to Ireland in 2007 when we were both 11.
At the age of 10.
At the age of 11. We're 3 months apart.
I think it's time to do some mathematics. When you moved to Ireland, where did you move to?
Anyways, I moved to Tullamore. So I went from one village to another village. But shout out to Tullamore to you.
I have to do my NCT there next month.
I swear to God.
So
it's people like you making us wait in Tullamore for our NCT.
Yeah. Blame me.
Apologies.
But yeah, no. So I moved them to Tullamore. So that was because my dad was working in the hospital in Tullamore at that time.
Right. Yeah.
So the whole family, he was already there. So the whole family, basically all 8 of us. So I have seven kids. So 7 kids, 6 siblings. So we moved to Tullamore at that time. And yeah, it was very interesting.
It sounds a bit more about that. What was that like?
Very, very, very interesting. Because obviously Tullamore is not Dublin.
It's gotten better.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten better over time. You're not the only black person in the town or in class anymore.
Right.
You know, but when we moved, we went to Douro. So Douro is like outskirts, right? So it's like 15 minutes drive from Tullamore.
Okay.
And we were legit the only black family in that school.
Yeah.
In that school at the time. Luckily, I have how many siblings, so I wasn't. I wasn't the only black child. You know, but we were the only black family in that school, so it was very, very interesting. I always tell one story. So, the first day of school. Right, so I came in, I was in sixth class, so I started sixth class when I was in Ireland. So came into the class, and there was no space, and I was always very confident, right? So I go and I walk into the people and I was like, can you shift for me? Right? Shift is move, right?
In Nigeria, shift means move.
So imagine the new girl coming in with this Nigerian accent, saying, can you shift for me? Straight dead in the eye. And I was talking to a girl as well. I was like, can you shift for me? And the whole class looked at me like,
what?
Oh my God, what is happening?
What is this weirdo talking about? And I was like, yeah, like, can you shift for me? And I had to like tell them, go like this, you know, and then she moved. Yeah, moved. Then she was like, okay. So I became instantly the weirdo, you know, in the school. So that was my experience, the start of my experience, moving from Nigeria to Ireland, to Lomo, you know. Let me give it to Lissa.
I mean, it's hard to top that. What was your question again?
Yeah. So when you came over, where did you move to?
We moved to Ennis. So we lived in Ennis for a little bit. I mean, similar experience. So I was...
Sunnier there, though.
I was such a weirdo, complete weirdo. So I was in grade 6 in South Africa going to grade 7. So we have, okay, like 7 grades in primary school and then you go to high school. So okay, coming here, I went to 6th class. I couldn't speak English to save my life. When I say I came from the village, Zulu was the language.
Oh, okay, right.
So, like, similar struggle. The accent wasn't even... I mean, I wish the accent was my struggle. I was trying to communicate, like, just trying to have a nice, normal conversation. But, yeah, but weird. It's weird, right? Because even though South Africa is so, like, multicultural, like, mm-hmm, we've got Indian South Africans, Black South Africans, White South Africans.
Yeah.
It was the first time I felt like, I'm black. Oh my gosh, I'm black. And as crazy as that sounds,
right, yeah,
like having been brought up in a predominantly black area,
yeah,
I never knew any white people up until I moved to Ireland.
Right.
And it was the first day of school, or like that first week, I vividly remember feeling like, I'm different, am I not? Yeah. I'm a little bit different. So it was a huge culture shock.
You moved through school and then you both went to NUIG. Is that right?
Yes.
So what were you studying there?
I studied biomedical engineering. Oh, wow. So nice. Yeah. So I was studying biomedical engineering. That's where we met.
Yeah. And I did general science in NUIG as well. So
nice. How was that? Anyone that studied, I have the same reaction because I studied chemistry as well. The exact same reaction. Anytime anyone asks. No, completely here.
You know what? It was a personnel character developing phase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we were broke, like most college students. Yeah. Nothing new.
So myself and this one met, obviously, Freshers Week, right?
Okay.
So yeah, that was where we met. We didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Right? Actually, when we met, I didn't like her.
Here we go.
It's always case.
Here we go.
I didn't like her at all. Fast forward to years.
He was so passionate.
Can I just clarify? She was beefing with me. I didn't even know who she was.
So anyway, so we met up. Okay, so we met anyways in Freshers Week. And when, obviously, everyone's there to meet people, Freshers Week, mm-hmm, da-da-da. So, and me, you know, from Tullamore. Oh my God, I don't know any black people except my family. Only to come to NUIG and I'm actually seeing, like, you know, a more multicultural or a more diverse community, right? Yeah. So I was this bubbly person. Mm-hmm. And... so we were at the Bailey Allen Hall and someone was introducing us, right? And Lisa was just on her phone. She was like,
There is a story behind this.
Later she
found out.
Later she told the story because I was like, so she was on the phone and someone's introducing us. And I was just like, well, you're very rude. You know? I was like, well, you're very rude. But that's fine. That's no problem. You know, so that was the first time we met, right?
Okay.
And then that was Dash, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay. Like, it wasn't any big deal or anything, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then, fast forward then, so eventually I needed a place to stay because I used to live with Tolu. I used to live with Tolu. Tolu's from Tullamore as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We were both sharing a room when we started in college. So I was living with her, but eventually we had to, like, you know, I had to find somewhere else and she had to find somewhere else because we were living so far away from college.
Okay.
So we had to, like, find, like, somewhere closer, but we couldn't find together.
Yeah.
So anyways, now fast forward, I was desperately looking for somewhere else and her housemate had a room available. I was like, oh, there's a room available in so-and-so house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, please, I'll take it. And then I realized, oh, okay, this girl that was rude actually lives in that house.
Guys, let me just defend myself. I was fighting with the fees office. I was emailing the fees office for it was like paperwork things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a rude moment.
Okay, so that's how you guys kind of met each other. Obviously, fast forwards all these years later, you can tell that like that was probably for a reason, as we've seen, which is fantastic. But curious in terms of like how the idea of Mojolin came about, like what inspired that for you guys?
Well, we're both very, very, very proud Africans, right? Anything we do, 100%. Anywhere we walk into, people know, okay, they're Africans. They're not Americans. They're not, they are, you know, origin Africans, right? And you can even see in everything, like even in my accent, I've been here how many years, my accent is not changing. It will never change, you know? You know, like, and in anything we wear as well, for myself especially, even when I was in Tolomo, like I'll try even tie and carry a scarf, you know, carry earrings, whatever it was, and I would get my aunt to be sending me things as well, right, from Nigeria. So even when we were younger, she would send me, she would send us items. So fast forward then, we were then in college and people were like, oh my god, loving this, you know, love your style, love this, you know. I was like, I sell them if you're interested, you know. So like, well, I was like, okay, I'll sell them. Then I told my aunt, if you can send me more, I'll try and see if it will actually pick up. You know, like if it picks up, cool. If it doesn't, then I just have extra things chilling. You know. And then this was, this on the other hand was
So it's weird every time we talk about like our lives. It's weird. So on the other hand, I obviously a very proud Zulu girl, and then going up back home, my grandma is also a tailor, so I would have learned like
beading. Is this your go-go?
My go-go. Thank you. I appreciate you know what, I really appreciate that, because I always you did reference her here. No, yeah, my go-go, she's like, anyone that knows me knows, like, it's my, anyone who's seen, like, is it Jane the Virgin? That is me, my mom, and my grandma. Like, we're that close. So, anyway, the skill of, like, she was a tailor, she was beading, as you can see with the earrings I'm wearing today. So I would have picked that, a lot of that from her. So kind of moving to Ireland, I would have, like, tried to incorporate my culture into, like, a lot of the things that I did. And then, so when we met in college, Chyna was like, as she was explaining there, I have this auntie and I think we should sell these things and we should, you know, we should give it a shot. And I was like, yo, my grandma makes things too, like let's do it, like let's make this a thing.
Kind of. And so we started them, so we started selling. Would you like to buy? And like we'd literally bring it and like stock our lockers with like African map jumpers. That was what we, what we initially started selling. African map jumpers. So we would sell them in school, at markets. Started selling then and it just picked up, right? People were interested. We were like, okay, this is serious, you know, like forget all things aside. My aunt and your grandmom are actually making money off this. You know, like we're actually helping them to make money as opposed to just them being stuck within their location, right? You know, not being able to reach a more global audience, right? And they were in shock. You know, this was Gogo was like, can you send me pictures? You know,
they want to send more. We're like, slow down.
You know,
by the time.
And then my aunt as well was very excited because herself, she's a businesswoman anyway. She sells back home. You know, so but she was like, this is actually great. I didn't actually think there was a market over there. Like, you know, because it's very niche. So we said, okay, this actually made us feel like we were doing something, making having some impact on on Gogo and my aunt. So we're like, let's do it on a bigger scale. So we told them, send more, we're gonna try and see how much more we can push, right? So we ended up opening and setting up a Shopify store so that we're not stuck in our location right? So we then set up a Shopify, an actual Shopify store.
Was it difficult? You
know? No, well, I am very techie. So it wasn't like difficult for me. Like, I think anyone can learn anything. You go and Google it.
YouTube,
you understand? You know, and then if you want to pay someone, someone will do it for, but you can Google it and do it. It just takes longer, of course, if you're doing it yourself. So just set up the Shopify, put up the things, and then try to, you know, sell, not just in our college, but, you know, in different places as well. And it did well. And then we're like, okay, more designers are actually asking us if we can sell their things. So my aunt connecting us to other people, this was grandma connecting us to other people. So they would then send their things and we would then sell. Right?
Oh,
but
brilliant.
It was way too much. Way too much for us because, you know, paying, shipping cost.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. sort of shipping to come to us, first of all, from Nigeria and from South Africa,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Come to us first. And then we then have the bulk, you know, the bulk items. We have the inventory. We were holding stock then. Mm-hmm. And then whenever someone in Ireland orders, we will then, postage. You know,
yeah.
we'll do the package. We'll run to postage in the middle of, instead of going to lecture. So that was that. And we were like, this isn't, it's not scalable.
Yeah.
Like, we can't really handle this, right?
Sure.
But we kept trying to see, okay, let's keep going. Because impact, right? Mm-hmm. Helping these designers. Like, at this stage, it became like, that, you know, we were so proud that we were doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
People, right? In terms of profit, what profit are we making?
Hey, profit is a questionable. Yeah. It's a questionable thing. But it's, we were proud of what we're doing. Like, yeah. we're 100%. Yeah, it went from us wearing the items to seeing the items on other people and people actually being proud to wear to wear the products we were selling. So it was the feeling that we had from doing what we're doing was absolutely
was
incredible.
It was definitely enough you know.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, we were just too tired, right? We were just drained.
Sure.
And we kept going, you know. You mm-hmm. think you would cop on and tell yourself relax.
We needed to re-strategize, take a moment and figure out a way to do things better for better results, but mm-hmm. we just didn't at the time. But then the pandemic happened, and it wasn't even so much the pandemic, it was what happened just before the pandemic. I believe it was a random Thursday afternoon. We get this random email. Yeah. We get this random email. Basically, this girl says, "Hey, I'm from LA, working with this company, and I'm looking to collaborate with you guys for a Jay-Z for a Pharrell and Jay-Z music video called Entrepreneur, and we'd love to feature what were then Omoja Production." And we were like, this has got to be a scam. This has got to be a scam. Do you know what I mean? So we're talking about it. And then it was like, okay, but this, like, what do we have to lose? Like, let's just do it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, we respond to this email and we're like, okay, yeah, this is who we are. And we'd love to jump on a call with you, you know, find out more about this and give us more information. And lo and behold, it was real. Like, it was real. Mm-hmm. And she was an agency working, scouting African black owned businesses. She was working particularly in Europe. They had already done the scouting in the US. Mm-hmm. And she wanted us to feature in a Pharrell and Jay-Z music video for their song Entrepreneur. And that was such a pivotal moment in our business, because obviously it was great being featured there.
Absolutely.
But it also came with like this huge like demand, and we just were not ready. We were not with the method that we're using at the time, mm-hmm. with the way our business model at the time, it just mm-hmm. was not ready to meet mm-hmm. that demand.
Okay.
So obviously it's great having a lot of people on our site. We're getting loads of new followers coming in on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
but we're just not able to meet up with the demand. As painful as it was then, it was also around the time of COVID, the pandemic, but it really gave us a chance to be like, okay, look, let's just take a pause, mm-hmm. let's take a step back and actually re-strategize and see how we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that period was the birthing of Umoja Lynn for what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah.
And the name, Umoja Lynn, what does that mean?
Umoja Lynn, so Umoja means unity in Swahili,
okay.
one of the oldest African languages, mm-hmm. and one of the well-spoken, and most spoken in Africa as well. Yeah. And Lynn means by us as Gwelga, so unity by us.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Amazing.
Hello.
Nice fusion of our both cultures as well.
Mm.
Cultural hybrid.
Love that. Love that. Speaking of cultural, sorry, I'm just.
Yeah, no, go.
Cultural hybrid. No, because this is fantastic. Obviously, Tina, you're Nigerian. Lisa, you're South African.
Yeah.
Personally, I just feel like that's the nicest combination of African. Yeah. It is the sweetest combination.
Amanda, what?
Not to be biased. But you know, the South African Nigerian hybrid sprinkles.
She has a birthday or
something. With a little bit of Irishness.
Oh, yeah.
We have to love it.
No better mixture, you know?
There's no better mixture. But I'm just curious, how does like both of your backgrounds, obviously, like in terms of the fabrics and mm-hmm. the styles of things mm-hmm. you use, there's like a central Afrocentricness, I think, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, that like binds everything together. But just on an individual level, how do your backgrounds kind of affect your work, your brand, what you do? How does that play into what you guys are doing right now?
Significantly. Absolutely, like significantly. Like the nicest thing is as well, it started off as obviously Nigerian, South African, bringing those mm-hmm. two different cultures, because mm-hmm. the products that we're making were products that were very much like culture-focused products, right? Mm-hmm. So African map jumpers using the likes of Ankara, you know, fabric, mm-hmm. and with South African products, there were like beaded Zulu earrings and very much like strong Zulu culture there. But what has been interesting is there was never any issue in terms of the fusion of the two cultures. But what has been really sweet is as Mojolin has like grown, we've obviously started working with brands and designers outside those two countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the similarities, it's absolutely incredible. Like the similarities are amazing. The mix of different colors, you kind of start to identify as well. Like even if you don't necessarily see the material, you start to see, okay, in the East, people actually mix these sorts of colors together more. In the South, we seem to be more into the reds, the yellows, the really mm-hmm. bright. And then, you know, North Africa, it's different. Like it's a really beautiful like fusion. And Africa is beautiful, man.
It is.
Really absolutely. And like what countries now would be represented through the different companies?
Yeah, so we have 8 countries right now.
Is it 8 at the moment? So there's South Africa, Nigeria,
Togo,
Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
There is Ghana.
Mm-hmm. We have some in Ireland. Like we have some designers in Ireland, but they would be Nigerian, so I don't know if to count them. Nice. Well, Ireland. Ireland.
Sierra Leone.
No Senegal, no?
No Senegal, just yet. Mali. Yeah. So we have 8. We have 8 different countries right now. The items is just insane. So we have Akwete. So we have about 3 designers in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And all 3 of them, their brands completely different, right? Yeah. So we have Cynthia Abila, mm-hmm. amazing. She works more with like Akwete and hand woven materials, mm-hmm. right? And then we have
kind of the harder
and she's I'm gonna even talk more about Cynthia.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing. So hand woven materials, right, from the East, right? Yeah. And she works with basically women back home and helps them to get employed, right? Brings them train them up on the trade, and basically they do all the weaving mm-hmm. of the material, all of that. And then Cynthia designs, and there's this whole big production now. Mm-hmm. Something that started off as, you know, all of a sudden it's this, you know, huge, impactful, sustainable business that mm-hmm. is still growing. Like, mm-hmm. I always talk so much about her every time, any opportunity I get, because I think out of all the designers, but then I'm biased because, you know, I'm biased, you know. So, like, even Cynthia, she works with Akwete, and then Anike Ologe should be more modern fusion, you know, Afro fusion. The dress I had worn to the big awards would have been Anike Ologe. So sometimes you'd be like, is it really African? Mm-hmm. But it is, you know, it's Afro influence, you know, like with the applique, you know, it was a ball, like a ball dress, but like, you know, like so at the top it's like applique, you know?
Yeah.
So like, and you know, it's not like obvious, African, you know, anything. It's not like African, you know, in your face, mm-hmm. but there's, you know, there's that African influence to it, mm-hmm. you know? And then like, so all the designers, they're so different. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
I guess that's the funnest thing about fashion, right? It's you being able to represent yourself, mm-hmm. who you are, your mm-hmm. culture, whatever mm-hmm. you want to do. It's like, fashion should be fun. Mm-hmm. And so for us, being able to work with these designers and being able to like provide consumers in the West, particularly mm-hmm. people of African descent that mm-hmm. are looking for products to represent their own cultures.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like, it's the work for us is just incredible. We mm-hmm. really love it.
Yeah.
Let's speak on that because for me personally, that's something that's been like such like a huge turning point, mm-hmm. I think, in my recent life, I'd say the last 6-ish plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we speak a lot about growing up black in Ireland and what does that mean, and I think for a lot of people at a certain point in your life, for me it started with my hair and then led into every other aspect of
mm-hmm.
my life,
mm-hmm.
but kind of getting that appreciation for your culture, for African culture as a whole, I think is something that I don't think it's something that we talk about enough, or it's something that should be taken lightly, because honestly for me it wasn't until that point in my life where I'm genuinely appreciating my culture, my heritage, wanting to actively embrace those things that I was actually able to fully just be okay in my own skin and be confident mm-hmm. within myself and that kind of thing. Like it's like a journey that I think almost everyone at some stage you kind of need to go through.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah. And with many black girls, it starts with the hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like the moment you said it started with your hair, I was like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then just like, everything else.
You know?
Yeah. It's a whole journey.
For myself, right? So I have how many siblings, and my family very proud. So I didn't go through that, you know, stage of not appreciating my Africanness, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't go through that, but I could, because I had a
strong,
you know, yeah. And like my parents were just always preaching everything African, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. all our books. My mm-hmm. sisters, like the mm-hmm. really young ones, mm-hmm. they would be more like, I say, probably more similar experience to yourself, where because mm-hmm. they were so young, they were, mm-hmm. the last two were born in Ireland.
Okay.
So they were so young. So there's that confusion, right? Yeah. There's the, I suppose, conflict,
mm-hmm.
right, with themselves, like with like. They are Nigerian, yeah. they're as Nigerian as you can be,
mm-hmm.
but then they're also as Irish as you can be,
mm-hmm.
right?
So in the house, it's so Nigerian, it's yeah. so African, it's so African pride, right?
Yeah.
But then once they leave,
exactly, yeah.
once they leave,
yeah.
it's, we're an island,
yeah.
yeah. You know, like mm-hmm.
we're,
Twitch,
you know, we're an island, especially yeah. being in Tolomo, what other black people?
Yeah, yeah.
So they, like, it was interesting watching them and like knowing that their experience was completely different.
Mm.
And now my sister, so she's like 17 now,
mm-hmm.
so she just a few years ago she started going through that stage that mm-hmm. you would have been, that you're talking about, where mm-hmm. she all natural,
yeah,
you know, mm, her hair all natural, yeah. she doesn't do the she does braids sometimes,
yeah.
uh-huh.
you know, she does wigs, she's like, no, I don't know about these wigs, you know,
yeah.
like she's going through that
the
natural
whole, yeah
you know, and mm. Going through the whole, oh Gina, I need to help you with like with Umojilin. She didn't care before, now, you know, but now like anything Umojilin, she's helping, she's mm. you know, yeah. so there is that like different experience for Africans in Ireland, the mm-hmm. ones that feel like, ooh, there's a conflict.
It's certainly actually very different for me, because mm-hmm. I have a bit of a different background in terms of my mixed heritage and mm-hmm. How I was kind of disconnected from my African heritage at a young age. So I went through the majority of my life kind of like really rooted to my Irish identity,
mm-hmm.
And was missing that other half. It took me years to really say, okay, well, actually, I really want to get into this. And I, so yeah. I started with history and learned about yeah. the history of Senegal. I couldn't do hair because I didn't have loads. And I feel like, actually, for men, when we get to that stage, our hairline is already starting to retreat. It's already starting, so I'm trying to grab it and pull it forward. I'm now starting to look at like jewellery and stuff like that, and like mm-hmm. artwork from mm-hmm. Senegal and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to visit for the first time
yeah.
in like this year or next year. A lot of people do go on that journey and like mm-hmm. reconnecting
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
You know, certainly when they leave yeah. The continent or are born outside it, that they need to reconnect with it. So yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And like it's so important to have, I suppose, platforms yeah. or, you know, medias
just
or
pathways.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you yeah. know, to make it easier mm-hmm. to go through that yeah. journey.
You have like that moment where you're basically trying to figure out who you are, trying to make your like work your way through it. And from a fashion perspective, right, fashion, like anything, has evolved so much over yeah. the years. So while that's all going on back home, we went from like, you know, full Ankara mm-hmm. outfits, mm-hmm. fully like headpieces, completely yeah. different mm-hmm. to
yeah.
a fusion between exactly mm-hmm. Afrofusion mm-hmm. with the West, with, you know, mm-hmm. different cultures, and kind of just like the designers have evolved so much, the
yeah.
designs have evolved so much.
Mm.
You're getting a fusion between countries that you wouldn't have seen before, like
mm-hmm.
Mali and Togo. You've designers that are just like doing incredible work, and
mm-hmm.
the way that fashion has evolved in Africa is incredible. So it's nice to kind of be that bridge that like closes that gap between
yeah.
the West and Africa, right?
Mm.
Because while we're here living in Ireland,
yeah.
trying to, you know, find out more about ourselves, things are obviously changing back home as well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to
yeah.
to know that, okay, I don't mm-hmm. have to wear full Ankara just to feel
yeah.
like I'm African.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there is this other designer, Anika Loge. She does
mm-hmm.
a fusion. That's actually what I'm into, because
mm-hmm.
I don't really want to wear just Ankara. I want something else,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, like it's nice to see kind of platforms like that.
That's cool.
I see a lot of similarities between your organization and ours
mm-hmm.
in terms of how it just starts off as talking and stuff like that. And even
mm-hmm.
back when myself and yourself were talking about Black and Irish and to what it has evolved to now and yourselves, how important is entrepreneurship for you in the community?
Like, extremely. Like, entrepreneurship is, oh gosh, it teaches you so much about yourself. And I'm sure you guys know.
Mm.
It teaches you so much about yourself, but also we even us as Black Irish people, we have so much to offer mm-hmm. our community. We have so much to offer Ireland as a whole.
Yeah.
We come from different backgrounds. We bring in different experiences. We bring in a flavor mm-hmm. that's different, and that may not necessarily be in the market. Pushing and creating opportunities for people to be able to step into entrepreneurship mm-hmm. if that's what they wish. Like in our case, we obviously work with designers who are entrepreneurs in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all for like advocating for them and advocating for their work as well, and trying to just figure out the different barriers that they face, because we do face different barriers, and it's really important especially for people who are already in the entrepreneurial stage and in the entrepreneurial like phase and environment to acknowledge the challenges that we do face, so that mm-hmm. other people who want to step into that world don't have to go through the same mm-hmm. struggle, yeah. don't have to face the same barriers. So yeah, it's absolutely important for us, like, yeah.
I suppose how important is inclusivity for you? And like obviously from going through your website, I did see that you show a white person in the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
The brands that you're highlighting and promoting and platforming and stuff like that are for everyone, and that mm-hmm. everyone can be involved in it.
Extremely important. Yep. So that was one of the earliest conversations we had even before we started Umoja Production.
Okay.
That was one of the conversations. We were like, okay, if we're gonna do this, we don't want to just remain in that circle of it's only for Black people, mm-hmm. or it's only for Africans, right? Mm-hmm. We're not limiting those designers mm-hmm. to just that market,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't benefit anyone,
mm-hmm.
right? So we were like, if we're doing any shoots, if we're doing any promotion, any branding, anything, it has to be mixed, mm-hmm. right? It has mm-hmm. to be white people, Asian people, mm-hmm. Whatever, Black people, everything. So everyone mm-hmm. yeah. feels like once they go onto the site, yes, this is for them. Mm-hmm. It's not just for, yes, it's by us. We're mm-hmm. telling our stories by us, mm-hmm. but we're bringing the rest of the world along on that journey.
Yeah. For you guys, it's been a journey. We've kind of spoken on where it's come from, how it's evolved, some challenges, struggles along the way. I'm sure it's been a lot more colorful, and there's probably a lot of things that have happened in between the lines that we probably didn't even get to touch on. But in summary, just like kind of for you guys reflecting, taking everything into consideration, what has been your proudest achievement or your favorite thing that you guys have done so far?
That's a really good question, actually, that I don't think anyone's asked us to date. I have to say, for me personally, it was the launch of Umoja Lynn. So I feel like the work that we did, as part of Umoja Production up until that moment, mm-hmm. especially with COVID. COVID was such an isolating time period mm-hmm. where we're just working in the background, trying to figure out, okay, but if we do this, where will it work? So we've moved from having the designers bulk ship their products to a completely new business model.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took that 2 years for us to actually figure out what's the most efficient way to do it. But just launching Umoja Lynn and having that platform live at mm-hmm. the beginning of 2022, January 2022.
Amazing.
And like, it was the first January after COVID.
Yeah.
And it was surreal. And mm-hmm. We had Kelechi Amadiobi Studios, one of the biggest fashion editors in Nigeria, joining us, which took time out of his day
mm-hmm.
To celebrate such a pivotal moment for us. It was incredible.
So another proudest moment was being like, okay, how far can we really push this? Like, how far can we take Umoja Lynn? Like, do we want to just be a marketplace for African designers, right? Which mm-hmm. is definitely one way of achieving our main goal,
mm-hmm.
which is basically to help African designers sell and to make African fashion more easily accessible, mm-hmm. right, globally. So the market is one way, but we sat down and were like, just think of the most crazy thing you could do,
mm-hmm.
Giving ourselves that opportunity to say, think of anything and
mm-hmm.
let's just walk towards achieving that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our proudest moment came, and we're like, okay, we're going into tech, we're gonna be
let's do it
now. We're going into tech so that was our second proudest moment. We're going into tech. We made that decision, and that's what we've been doing. So mm-hmm. we ended up applying for a pre-accelerator. So it's like NDRC. So NDRC is kind of like the startup body of Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we applied for the pre-accelerator, told them what the vision was, right? A pitch, everything, and we got in, right?
Amazing.
All of Ireland, and we got in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a program where they basically take you under their wing and they teach you how mm-hmm. to, I suppose, plan out your tech journey, how to plan out your idea, how to pitch to investors,
mm-hmm.
how to get customers, how to hire people, all of those things. So we got into that, and then we ended up getting into Black Girl Fund. So it's a program in the UK. You've probably heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's a program in the UK, and they basically take Black women entrepreneurs and teach them as well from the tech side, whatever idea. So I haven't said that idea yet. We're launching soon.
Okay, brilliant. Okay,
we're launching in a few months, nice. Probably June. And amazing. It's when we launch, it's gonna be, well, literally gonna revolutionize the whole African fashion industry, and we cannot wait.
I'm so excited for this year. I mean, you had fantastic. A killer 2022. I can't wait to see what you do in 2023. I think you have a couple more events as well coming up in 2023. Let's hear about those.
we do. So obviously we had a great year last year, had two pop-ups which were absolutely like so successful. Mm-hmm. So we have a summer pop-up coming up this year, which we're very excited about.
in June
again. So it's gonna be in June. So we have a summer pop-up, and we most 100% will be returning our Christmas pop-up. The first one though is the summer pop-up that's taking place in June. So we're excited to send more
information on that. Yes, but and then the most, I suppose, close event from now is a fashion show. So we have a fashion show with NUIG.
It's not NUIG. They changed their name.
University of Galway. So it's not National University. UG. You know, UG. Yeah. So we have a fashion show with them. In February, so 27th of February, if anyone wants to come and see. And they'll be showcasing, so it's, you know, of course, Black History Month. So it's one of the events that they, you know, they reached out to us, you know, they're like, oh, it's Black History Month, we want to do something, you know, and we're like, no problem. So we're just going to be supplying them with, you know, items from some of our designers. So
amazing,
make sure to go see it.
Shameless plug.
Chyna, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Amanda, thank you, and so Leah. Been amazing.
Subscribe to the Black and Irish podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the RTE Radio Player app.